Hello and welcome to Radio Gorgeous Wellbeing. Today I'm very excited because I'm here with a new member of a Radio Gorgeous team, and she is going to be our agony aunt. She is called Jane McCartney and she is a chartered psychologist. Hi and welcome to Radio Gorgeous. How are you, Jane?
Hello, Josephine. I am very well and I'm really pleased to be here.
So what we did was we put out on Twitter and Facebook and we asked people to send in their problems, and we've had a really good response, haven't we?
I'm so pleased, absolutely, yes. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that people want to talk about, and yeah, that's what I'm here to do.
So just tell us a little bit about you before we start, your background, Jane.
Okay, I became psychologist a good few years ago because I've always been interested in people. I've done all sorts of jobs over the years. I trained to be a croupier once. And so you get to see all sorts, worked in pubs, you know, all sorts of things. So I really enjoyed observing people. And I thought, how can I turn this into something that'll, you know, be a career? And that's how I became a psychologist.
So did you train when you had kids? I know you've got three kids and all now teenagers. Did you train before or during or after?
I did, and it took me a very long time. From my first degree to my last one, it took, it took about 14 years.
Wow, and did you have to do therapy on yourself?
Yes, you are required as part of one of my degrees. You had to do that. So yes, I did go and see a nice local lady who was very nice, and you get to learn things about yourself. You get to learn things about the process. So it was very valuable.
I bet it's the most valuable, because then you can learn to stand back and look. And I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? To be able to be objective.
Yeah, totally. And also, we did have one session where she slightly fell asleep. And that was a really interesting learning tool because, you know, am I boring you? Do I challenge you about it? So, yeah, it was really, really interesting. That's probably the most valuable thing that I remember. It's a long time ago.
So have you fallen asleep in any sessions?
No, I've never fallen asleep. There's been a couple of times where I've slightly had to dig my nails into my hand because, you know, somebody might be repeating the same thing. And also, you know, if the room's a bit hot, that can make it a bit. But, yeah, no. Never fallen
asleep.
So
do you work from home normally? Is that how it works?
I do both. So I work for the NHS and I also, yeah, have a private clinic. Yeah.
Fantastic. So let's start off with the problems. So this one's from Sabine, and she says, my only child, age 12, is rather lazy and entitled and hates change. He has outgrown Lego, but he used to hate it if our cleaner moved it, etc. He claims, we think erroneously, that he left out a £10 note on the side in the lounge, and that our cleaner, a new one that I love and get along with, took it. I am completely gutted. I don't think she would take it. I think that he has a right to keep things in his own home or room. I leave all kinds of things out, jewellery, money, rightly or wrongly. Also, it's £10. On the other hand, if he stole £10, I'd be upset with him. How should I handle this?
Okay, there's a few things going on here. So he's 12. He's an only child. So he's kind of been not exactly indulged, but he's been the centre of a lot of people's worlds. He's got he's got a bit of competition. You know, Sabine talks about how she really likes the cleaner. Now, might sound bizarre that a 12-year-old boy should feel competitive with a cleaner, you know, but there's obviously something going on there that he wants to suggest that perhaps she's stolen this money, which, you know, as Sabine says, she doesn't think so. And there's plenty of stuff around. So that's not the issue. The issue is his behaviour and his want to control, because that's what's going on here. He leaves his Lego out and then sort of like throws a little hissy fit if it's put away by the cleaner. She doesn't say about whether she puts it away or whether they do it between them or something. So there's something about, you know, him kind of wanting to control the situation and then throwing a bit of a tantrum when he doesn't, or, you know, manufacturing the not stealing incident. So
yes, now the thing is that Sabine's hinting at is, did the son take the money? You know, I mean,
yeah,
when you get to 12, do these things start happening? Basically
they do. And you know, there's almost a duty of, you have to be careful with money, because you know, kids will do it even if they've got all the money in the world. It's just something that some kids will do, so you've just got to be a bit, you know, not kind of leave absolutely everything around all the time. It's a stage a lot of kids do go through. So you've just kind of...
Well, he's 12, isn't he? It's like the age when you suddenly realise, I can buy things.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah, you buy things. And yeah, also, you buy things for other people.
Yes.
And we've got to sort of like maybe think about what's going on for him. Is he buying friends? Yeah, you know, I'm not suggesting he's being bullied or anything and paying, you know, you know, danger money or
but
whatever.
Maybe the friend's saying, hey, have you got any money on you?
Yeah.
Let's go for a slice of pizza. Oh, well, I haven't got any money. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, if he's this young only child, he's probably not wanted for anything. So that sense of, well, it's a tenner, it's mine. Hey, you know, if I went to ask you for it, I'd be given it. So what's the difference? So it's actually sitting him down. He's 12 now, so he can well and truly understand this. He's got, you know, capable. He needs to really, you know, be sat down and spoken about to this. And it, not just kind of, oh, he goes stomping off because he's having a tantrum or anything. No, you come back down and you sit down. So it's about boundaries, because he is the child and he's trying to control, whereas the actual adult's going on here. So, and this doesn't just happen. At 12, it doesn't just happen. This has been building up all the time for up to 12 years. Wow. So there's a sense of, you know, I don't want to say indulge, but there's a sense of
Well, no, all our children indulge nowadays. That is the truth.
Yeah. And, you know, so he's got to actually, and, you know, part of the sitting down and talking to him is actually, right,
we're taking this seriously.
Yeah, we're taking this seriously. Yeah. And, you know, you're 12 now. You want to earn some money? Fine. There's jobs around the house that can be done. There's cars that need to be washed and things like that. So there's that sense of responsibility. Don't bribe. Don't say, oh, you've got to empty the dishwasher and I'll give you a fiver for doing it. No, that's normal stuff that gets done. But special jobs like, oh, you know, go and, you know, wash the car or something, or go and wash a neighbour's car even or something. But do something. So he, if he wants to earn his money, he's got the value of it, rather than, oh, well, there's a tenner lying around, there's £20 lying around. Mm. Because where does it stop? If they don't actually kind of sit down and properly talk, he's never going to admit to it.
No.
But you have the conversation where he knows, okay, they're on to me. And next time dad's wallet's there and I take a fiver out of it, that will be noticed, or that potentially could be noticed. So it's about, because otherwise he's on a bit of a slippery slope.
Yes.
So, yeah, sit down with him and have a proper talk. And if he wants to have
grown up talk.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if he wants to have a, you know, a hissy fit and go off, then he doesn't. He comes back. And if he really goes stomping off, then sanctions are put in place. If you go off, then you don't get to play on your computer, or you get your iPad taken off you. Whatever it is, boundaries, sanctions, and he'll be a much better boy very quickly for it.
And boys particularly respond to boundaries even more than girls.
Yeah, no, they tend to. They tend
really like
Yeah. All kids need boundaries, and they can be a bit flexible around the edges. There's nobody
saying, that's the deal. That's what they learn to do.
Absolutely,
deals.
But it's the difference between right and wrong. Essentially, that's really what you're teaching them. So good luck, Sabine. You can do it.
Oh, lovely. Okay, the next one is, this is from Lynn. I'm self-employed freelance writer, and when I'm working for someone else, I'm responsible, prompt in my work, and communicate about deadlines. However, when I approach my own work, I'm a terrible procrastinator, I can't say that word, to the point of total paralysis. I procrastinate over daunting projects, and then hang over my head and make me feel terrible. So she kind of sets herself up, doesn't she?
She does,
Do you have any strategies to help over procrastinator? What's the word?
Procrastinator.
And also she wants to know, why does she procrastinate?
she procrastinates because she doesn't fully believe in herself. It's a confidence thing with her. When somebody gives her something, great, you want me to do X, Y, and Z, I'm more than capable and I can do that, and I can do that for you. But when she gives it to herself, she can't do it. She doesn't believe in herself. There's something kind of...
There's something sabotaging.
You know, and I think we all do it. And we can all kind of...
We all do
Yeah, we can all decide to tidy the, you know, cutlery drawer, because that's far more interesting than actually doing the work, because we don't believe that we can. And actually, a lot of people's, a lot of women's, you know, with kids and families, our MO is to kind of put everybody fed, put everybody head.
First.
Yeah, and then
everything
me, first. I'll run up it and I'll do it and it'll probably be okay. But she wants to be more than okay. So I think with Lynn, she needs to think about some of her confidence issues here. And the first and best thing she could probably do is look at the work that she's done, both for other people, but for herself, and actually start building up this kind of little sort of like mental portfolio of, actually, I did that really well. And OK, that wasn't as good, but it was still done, and things like that. So she can actually go back, look at her portfolio, and kind of, so when she gets working for herself and the stuff that she's doing, she can kind of go, no, I'm going to do that because I've done it in the past. And it's a bit stressful and a bit of hassle if I do it all at the last minute and because I put it off. And what can I do now? And make the time for herself as well. Rather than everybody else gets a piece of Lynn, but she gets that tiny little crumb at the end, she needs to be just as equal. She needs to get just as much of herself that other people do. ideally, she gets more, but we'll work on that. So look, from the start, she needs to kind of divvy up her time. So her
That's the hardest thing I find, because I made a decision about 2 days ago, because I'm trying to do some writing, that first thing in the mornings, I'm going to write.
Yeah.
And the last two mornings, I haven't had time.
Right.
So how... I was really thinking of getting up an hour early. I mean, would you advise that for people that really want to get on if they've got a busy household?
Well, it works for time, and you can kind of schedule in a small amount of time to do that, because otherwise you'll get up an hour earlier, and in 6 months' time, Josephine, you will be getting up before you've gone to bed if you carry on with that. So, but you've got to look at why you're not having time. And if it's stuff around the domestic stuff,
it
the
is.
Family
it's
stuff.
It's always chores.
Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. It's actually, right, what's, you know, you have to come to the point and you think, what is more important to me? Is it more important to me to do the writing because it earns me the money and, you know, whatever? Or is it more important that I've got to do this on, you know, perhaps other people can sort their dinners out and their lunches out and things like that. And if they can't, then maybe they'll have to wait. Then, you know.
See, that's just so against our kind of grain as mothers, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. But it comes to a point where they have, you know, you have to really kind of, again, not just put yourself ahead, but just at least put yourself equal and ask yourself that question. When you're not doing something and you're running around for other people, ask yourself the question, right, you know.
Makes me feel worthwhile, though, doesn't it? It makes women feel worthwhile if they're kind of doing jobs around the house because you're fulfilling a role.
Yeah, to a point. But then, you know, those are very, you know, cul-de-sac-y, if you like, because it's only, you know, and you go round in a cul-de-sac, don't you? You're only going to go so far and you're going to be coming back on yourself. Whereas if you focused on what you wanted to do, that's a bit more of a straight road.
Same to Lynn as well.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing to Lynn. Just really get focus on what you've got to do. And maybe if you do have two jobs to do in the day, which are similar, like both writing or whatever Lynn does, then you say, I'm going to do mine first.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Or you would, you know, if you've got a deadline coming for something else, you can say, right, I will do mine and schedule it. And, you know, I'll do it for 20 minutes. And then if that 20 minutes kind of goes to 40 minutes, that's fine. But, you know, you've got to kind of be sensible about your time. But just to agree with yourself that you'll do something for a short amount of time, but kind of have it factored in that it could go on if you're in the flow and you don't want to stop. So that's kind of, you know, I'm thinking of Iris Murdoch here, you know, when she used to write, she was really disciplined about how she would write, to the point of, you know, she wouldn't eat for days or something. You know, it's really fascinating. But her priority was her writing and her. And we don't kind of want to be like that you shut yourself away.
She's obsessed.
Yeah.
But then she's terribly successful.
Well, yes. No, there is that. Mm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that success has to come at such a cost. Mm. You can balance. But what you've got to do is you've got to balance first in your, you know, make the agreement that you're going to make that balance rather than, you know, kind of allowing other things to take over.
I really like the 20 minutes a day thing.
Yeah.
Because as you say, if you start doing it and then it goes for longer, then that's a bonus.
It is, yeah. So you factor in, I will make it 20 minutes. And if at the end of 20 minutes, I've really, you know, it's not happening or something, that's fine. Then you get a little bit of extra time to do those things. Or you can just factor, right, that's another 20 minutes I can do. And then I've got to go and work on the other things. So these things get done, but you want to do it in a way that's, you know, a bit more compassionate to you.
Yes, and someone said to me once, if you're giving advice to your best friend, be your own best friend.
Yeah, totally,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and you know, your own best friend, you'd say, come on, you're so talented, you just go and do it.
Yeah.
You know? So why can't you say that to yourself?
Yeah, no, exactly. Sometimes, though, you know, best friends sometimes and relationships comes with, you know, history and dynamics. So pick somebody that you admire, you know, whether it's a fictional character or whether it's somebody off the TV or, you know, just pick somebody. And if they were literally standing here saying, OK, what do I, you know, please tell me what I need to do, then you know what the answer is going to be. So,
love it. So you can have like kind of a little fantasy friend that's helping you.
You can, absolutely. Yeah. And ultimately, it's always you doing it. You know, if people like, they can have Dr. Jane there. I will stand there and they can say, what shall I do? And I would say, no, this is what you need to do.
Fabulous. Okay, now that's great news for Lynn.
Okay.
Hope she sticks to it. Okay, now on to Sarah. Dear Jane, Dr. Jane, I was married for 22 years but drifted apart with different agendas. Out of the blue, an ex contacted me and, cutting a long story short, we had an affair and we're still together 3 years later. When my husband found out, he asked for a divorce, which was pretty straightforward, all things considered. I'm okay with my ex, but the problem is my 20-year-old son, who won't speak to me because of it. He says he'll not have any contact with me as long as I'm with this man who feels he's ruined our family. Right now, I'm choosing to be with my boyfriend, and that means no contact with my son. How can I get him to have a relationship with me and not punish me for dating the man I had an affair with? Any advice would be helpful. I'm really, really upset about this.
Yeah, I should think Sarah is, because, you know, she says after 20, they just drifted apart, and the ex doesn't actually have the problem. Well, you know, a little bit, but, you know, they got that sort of like kind of, but it's the son. And she's, you know, she's kind of sticking to her boundaries. You know, we go back to what we were talking about with Sabine and her son. But there's something about he won't accept her because his fantasy is still mum and dad are together and they're happy and they produce me and I'm happy. And that his little kind of childhood fantasy has been kind of shattered. And also at 20 as well, he'll be thinking about, oh, hang on a minute, what about that time when I was 13 and they had that blazing row? Or that time, you know, when I was 8 and, you know, something went wrong.
So you start reflecting.
You start reflecting and you start kind of rewriting your own history. Mm. And this is perhaps what the son's doing, and he's coming out of it wanting. And of course, what does he do with that sense of angst that he's got and that anger?
He's punishing the mother.
Absolutely. Mm. And he's punishing her for, you know, well, if it wasn't working, why did it not work 5 years ago or, you know, 10 years ago? So there's a sense of, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. He is punishing the mum and by saying that. But she's kind of being kind of firm and boundaried by saying, no, actually, I'm with this new fella now. And if you can't accept that, then, you know, that's really sad. But we'll work on it. The door is always open. And that's
how do you work on it? How do you get through to a 20-year-old that's really angry?
Okay, so just to do a bit of biology here. Mm-hmm. The prefrontal cortex, which is the thing that sort of like does all the emotions and stuff, doesn't fully develop until about 21. And, you know, traditionally boys, later, young, I'm not too sure. But anyway, so just let him know that she is always there for him, birthdays, Christmas, anniversary, whatever it is, all the special things, she was always, always going to be there for him. And let him come to her. And I think he will, because at 20, he'll maybe start dating and stuff. And, you know, as long as he doesn't, you know, he gets into a healthy relationship, which there's no reason why he shouldn't. There's something about him being able to reflect on his own relationships and that with his mum. So
how would you practically do it then?
You would just say, you would let him know. You would still say, okay, you know, we're not, you know, you won't come and see me or anything, but I'm going to send you messages. I'm going to send you cards. And don't wait for Christmas and birthdays. You can send him stuff. Not over the top. Not kind of, you know, he's going to feel a bit overwhelmed.
Also, you can send texts.
Send something physical as well. Mm. You know, send an actual physical thing. You know, you can see a postcard or a card or something. And you can just say, oh, you know, I saw
thinking of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I saw this, you know, kind of bunny and it reminded me of you or whatever reminds you. So just to let him know that he is still very much her priority, because at the moment he's thinking that he isn't. Oh, you've got rid of my dad.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get rid of me. Yeah.
You've run off with a lover.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he's feeling quite hurt and angry. And just, you know, don't force him. That's the worst thing that she could do, by saying, no, you have to come round here and it's financial or it's holiday and, you know, you won't go on your holiday if I don't pay for it. That's not the way to do it. Just kind of let him know all the time. It's going to be a gentle, but it's going to be probably a bit of a longer term thing.
The door's always open. You're always welcome.
And I'm always thinking about you. You know, I'm not thinking about you absolutely 100% of the time. But as my son, I've thought about you a lot of my time during the day for 20 years. That doesn't stop. Just because I'm with this new guy, it doesn't stop. So that's what she's got to do. And also, if she's okay with her ex, you know, it might be a bit tender and it might not work out. But if she is, maybe have that kind of conversation with him to say, look, you know, this is what, just to let him know that I am there for him. You know, if the ex is being a bit poisonous, he doesn't sound like it. Sarah's ex doesn't sound like it, but you do get situations where they're so hurt and...
Yes, and they could see it as a rival.
Absolutely, a rival. And, you know, and they're so, you know, they will do anything to harm the person that caused their ego the pain. Mm. So, but it sounds like her ex is okay. So just kind of, you know, if it's appropriate, just kind of get his, not exactly support, but just kind of agreement that he's not going to badmouth her. And just so, you know, because if I feel that if the son heard it from the dad to say, look, you know, this has happened, it's, you know, your mum's moved on,
I've
moved
right
on
about it.
It kind of almost kind of says to the son,
okay,
but it'll happen over time, and that's what she's got to do.
That's what she's got to be patient.
Yeah, she's just got to give it time.
thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous today. So if people have a problem, they can email us at info@radiogorgeous.com, or you can send a message on Facebook Radio Gorgeous, or you can even tweet us at @radio_gorgeous. So how can people get in contact with you, Dr. Jane, if they want to contact you privately?
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter, which is Dr. Jane McCartney, or on my website, which is drjane.co.uk.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous today.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it.
Health, beauty and well-being, and sometimes sex. Listen to Radio Gorgeous every day now. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2017. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.